So some things have happened since we were here together last week. The Braves have won a World Series. And that's how I know some of y'all are praying people. And also how I know some of you are praying people is my Gators lost to South Carolina 40-17. So on behalf of Gator Nation, we see that you are filled with faith and the prayers must stop. Enough. We get the message this year. But, okay, exciting stuff. But let's get into the real reason we're here today, the important stuff today, the Word of God. And so we've been in a series called Win the Day. Win the Day. We want to look at what does the Bible say about how do we define each day as a win or a loss? How do we succeed in each day? And in order to do that, we must go to the Old Testament to start. Am I right? Genesis chapter 4. This one's going to be easier to find if you're not familiar with the Old Testament. You don't dabble in there very often. Genesis 4, it's the first book of the Bible, four chapters in. It's a powerful thing. And so we're going to start there, Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. It says, verse 2, it says, now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. And maybe if you're reading these verses, you go, well, that's not very fair of God. That's not very fair of God. God looks down, and Cain brought an offering. And then Abel brought an offering, but God seems to only like the offering of Abel. That's not very fair. But if we look at the text, there's some things in the context that help us understand why God may not have been pleased with Cain. And some of you, I know immediately what you went to. Well, Cain brought fruits as the offering, and Abel brought meat. We live in the South. We have used context clues to see why God did not like the offering of Cain. And while that is a good guess, I don't believe that is why God rejected it. You see, that was what Cain's job was. His talents, his skills was he worked in the soil and he brought an offering off what his skills and his talents. Abel worked with animals, more of a shepherd. He used his talents and brought an offering to the Lord off what he did. So actually, they're doing the same thing. They're bringing forth to God from their talents and their skill set. The key thing for us to note here in the text, though, is what it says is Cain brought some of the fruits. Cain brought some of the fruits. But Abel brought from the firstborn. He brought from the fat portion, some of the most valuable things of that sacrifice. He brought his best. Let me put it to you maybe in a more 2021 lingo. Cain brought from his surplus. And Abel brought from his best. Is that ever a temptation for us as humanity? The temptation to have the heart of Cain, to say, God, I'm going to give to you out of my surplus. I'm going to give to you out of what I have left over. I'm going to take care of my needs. I'm going to take care of my wants. And then what I have left over, I'm going to give back to you. And we can almost kind of lead ourselves into the idea and thinking that we've done a good thing, and we may even end up with the reaction of Cain of going, God, why do you not seem to be pleased with this? Why is my offering not acceptable? And see, we talked about it doesn't have anything to do with the fruits or the animal. It had to do with the heart. God wasn't looking at the fruits or the fat portions and deciding if it was the right offering. He saw the heart of Cain who gave out of a surplus. And he looked down at the heart of Abel who said, I will give my best and my first to the Lord. And so that's what's so interesting is God looks down and says, Abel, you've given out of your first. Can we be honest about something? If you give your first back to God, does that not require some faith? When you take what's first, before you've taken care of any needs, yourself, your friends, or your family, and you give God out of your first, that's going to require faith. And that's why God looks down and says, Abel, I accept your offering. It was an offering made in faith. And so he looks down at Cain's offering, and Cain just took some of his surplus and said, God, I'll give it to you. That's not faith. Cain's already taken care of what he needs to do. And that's what God looks down. See, this is a message, as we get into it, some of y'all panicking, I can tell it. This is not a money message. Some of you are like, oh, thank you, Jesus. He's still in the miracle working business. We're not talking about money. I didn't say that. It's not just a money message. It's a heart message. And see, what we've got to look into our life today is, do we have the heart of Cain or the heart of Abel? That's the title of the message, The Heart of Cain and Abel. And see, as we get into this, it's interesting that God in Genesis 4 sets a tone. It's the first recorded offering we have in all of the Bible. It's the first recorded offering, and God sets the tone of what's going to be pleasing to him for the rest of time. I'm pleased with an offering made in faith. I'm pleased with an offering made in faith. And so God looks down, and see, I think sometimes when we think about offerings, we think just about money, right? That's, I mean, naturally where we gravitate, but I think God's looking at far more than that, because God's not really saying, I judge you by your money. That's not how it is. That's an American way of thinking, but that's not how God's thinking. God's always looking at our heart. And see, I think there's maybe three areas in life that we really have to decide whether we have the heart of Cain or Abel. And the first is when it comes to our talents and skills. Our talents and skills is an area where we've got to decide, do we have the heart of Cain or Abel? Do I give God my best when it comes to my talents and skills? See, I believe that God created the heavens and the universe, and he also created humanity. I think God created you, and he created me, and he gave us skills and talents that when used properly will always point people back to Jesus. When it comes to our talents and skills, though, do we give God our best when it comes to our talents, or do we give God from our surplus when it comes to our talents? Say you've got a talent of sales. I used to work in sales for years. Say you've got the talent of sales, and you're working in business. Does God get your best when it comes to your abilities, or does he get your surplus? When it comes to your athletic ability, does God get your best, or does he get your surplus? When it comes to your ability to communicate and talk with people and serve others, does God get your best, or does he get your surplus? Another area in life I think we need to look at today would be the area of time. When it comes to our time, every human being gets 24 hours in a day. Does God get your best, or your surplus when it comes to your time? When another area that I think we need to look at today would be finances. That's almost an obvious thing we could look at today. Does God get from your surplus or from your first, your best? And as we dive into these messages, I think we've got to see, do we have the heart of Cain or the heart of Abel? And it's going to be important because God says something very interesting in the verses we're going to look at. It's why it becomes so important to decide whether or not we're going to win the day. And see, he checks the heart more than anything, more than what time of day we're meeting with him, more than what kind of money we gave to him, more than what kind of talents we're using. He's going to ultimately, in all of those areas, search our heart. And it's going to be explained in these next verses why that's so important to God. But the thing I want to talk about before we just move on from there is the enemy. You see, by Genesis 4, something's happened. The enemy has shown up and distorted humanity. He's brought sin into the equation. And as we look at all three areas of this life, we have to understand that there's an enemy that does not want you to live out in faith. There's an enemy that does not want you to give your first to God. There's an enemy that does not want you to give your best to God. We have to grasp that. And see, here's the thing, is the enemy never wants you to operate in faith. But God will always lead you to operate in faith. You see, when we're giving our best, the tension as humanity, have you ever thought, my best is enough? My best is enough. And see, God will always lead you to go, I want to see your best, but that you also trust me with the rest. God wants us to give our best, but then also leave room in those areas to say, God, I think you can go above and beyond my best. The enemy is always going to lead us to remove faith from the equation, and God is always going to lead us to add faith to the equation. Because when we remove faith out of things, it's just us. And that's exactly where the enemy wants us to operate out of. God always wants us to operate out of a relationship with him, and that's always going to require some faith. Look what happens in the next verses. 6. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. That's a very interesting thing for God to say. When we're talking about winning the day, how to win the day, Genesis 4 has an important verse for us. Genesis 4 has God telling us, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? And it's interesting, he says that right after he explains which offering he has accepted. God breaks down in Genesis 4, God says, if you want to win the day, right here, Genesis 4. We're not going to have to get into some of the other texts today. Genesis 4, God's going to reveal, how do you win the day? Do what is acceptable. And what God says is acceptable is bring forth your first and your best and offer it to me. If you and I want to win the day, God says, do this. Give me your best and first every day. And here's the thing. I think you need to write this down. I really do believe this is for somebody. Your first and best is not the same as somebody else's. Your first and best is not even going to be the same in every season of life. Your first and best is always your heart before the Lord. I think what kills some of us is we start comparing, well, my talents in this area, my best doesn't line up with somebody. Well, that's because that's not necessarily your talented area. And heaven forbid, you may be good at something and somebody else may be better. It may be, well, I can't give as much as somebody else, so I may not be giving my best. No. God looks at the heart. Well, I may not be giving the same amount of time or this or that. Well, people are in different seasons. The reason it says give your best in faith is it looks differently for some of us. But the heart will always look the same. The heart will always be the same. That is the unifying factor between us is, do we truly have the heart of Abel that says, I will give God my best and my first? In the physical world, it may look different, but the heart will always end up being the same. And God says, if you want to win the day, if you want to be successful every day, bring your best and your first. Don't bring out of the surplus. Don't bring out of the leftover. Bring me the best and the first, because that will require faith. And that's an interesting thing for God to tell us. But then he also says something interesting. He says, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you and rule over you, but you must not let it rule over you. The thing is, it matters so much what we give to God because it reveals our heart. I truly believe that's why God instituted tithing. I don't believe God had any real interest in our money, but he saw from the very first offering there's a glitch in the human heart. In the very first offering ever made, God looks and sees there's a glitch in the human heart. There's a difference in these humans' hearts. He looks down and sees there's the heart of Cain and the heart of Abel, and they're not the same thing. There's a human heart that can exist that says, I'll give to God out of what I have left over. But there's another human heart that says, I will make sure, I'll look over everything I have, and I will give God my first and my best. And he says there's a difference between these two human hearts. And I think that's one of the reasons he instituted tithing. It has nothing to do with money. He says there's a glitch in the human heart, and I will always look to check it. It's why God says, bring me your first, your tenth. Bring it. Go look at Micah. It's an interesting thing God says is so important. It has nothing to do with money. He thinks it's so important because of our heart. And he challenges humanity. If you read Genesis to Revelation, it's very interesting. God doesn't do a lot of vocabulary words or sentences or setups like this where he gets almost a little bit aggressive, a little bit challenging. And he says, I double dog dare you. Try me on this. Bring me your first and best in your finances and see if I don't take care of you. That language is not used a lot in the Old and New Testament. It's a very interesting thing that God would do, but he's so passionate about it, not because of the finances, because he goes, the human heart, it's so important to decipher if it's the heart of Cain or the heart of Abel. And see, I think sometimes we think the Old Testament, maybe it's gotten a little outdated. It doesn't really apply to us, but Genesis 4 absolutely still applies to our life today. God's still searching humanity to decide, does humanity have the heart of Cain or the heart of Abel? It's important today. This is not outdated. This is not outdue. Humanity is still facing these things because sin is still crouching at our door, looking for a way to get into our heart. The enemy would love nothing more than to find an area in your life, in my life, where he can convert us to have the heart of Cain, where we can start to think, maybe I can rely on myself. I can do things my way. I know how to do this. You see, when it comes to our finances, do we really do give God our best, or do we give God from our leftovers, or if we have anything at all, or do we give God what we feel can still keep us in the comfortable range? When it comes to our talents and skills, do we use those to advance our own personal agenda and move up ladders in companies and to go take land with businesses and things like that? Or do we give God our best and say, God, I'm going to use these talents and skills first and foremost to honor you. And say, God, how do I honor you with these talents and gifts? What do you want me to do with them? How do I present these as a pleasing offering to you? Maybe those are areas you struggle in. Maybe it's finances where it's hard. Maybe it's talents that's hard. I'll tell you where, honestly, it's hard for me. I'll be real honest. You can write this down. This area is hard for my pastor. Asterisk. Double asterisks. It's time. I'm somebody that I really struggle with what John 15 calls us to when Jesus talks. He says, abide in me. Those verses are hard. I'm someone that I tend to fill up my calendar. I tend to have a lot going on. I tend to try to balance, you know, personal development, relational development, church development. I'm trying to do all these different things, and there's all good things. But before I know it, my time's gone. It's just gone. I don't know if you discovered this. All of us have 24 hours in the day, and everybody seems to need it. And what ends up happening a lot of time is God gets the surplus or leftovers of my time. There's times when I go to pray and I'm mentally exhausted and I'm kind of emotionally spent and I'm praying because I know I need to, and that's a good thing, but I know God's not getting my best right now. There's times where I know I need to be in the Word and I'll do it, but I'm kind of just mentally spent from the day, or I'm taxed and I'm giving God the leftover of my time, if I'm honest. God's not getting the best of my time right now. And that's where I've really had to check myself this week, especially, and go, man, I'm really struggling with the heart of Cain in this area. This is difficult. Maybe you're hearing about these three different areas, and you go, man, now that you say that, I'm wrestling a little bit with the heart of Cain in this area. I don't know that God's really getting my first and my best. I mean, think about it when we walk in. Maybe you're in Hiawassee or online, or you're here in a gym in Morganton, and by the third worship song, you're like, all right, I picked out what I'm going to have for lunch. What are we singing about? Is God really getting our best? I'm so proud of some of you that you guys would come and say, on a Sunday morning, I could be doing a lot of other things, but I'm going to tune in online because I want to encounter the Lord. I'm going to show up in Hiawassee because I want to encounter the Lord. I'm so proud that you would show up at a gym and say, hey, on Sunday morning, I want to be in church. You had other options. I'm proud of you for doing that. But when we come and do it, have we decided when we walk in that I'm going to focus on the Lord and say, God, I'm going to give you my best in worship today? And that's always going to have to do with our heart. Does God get our best, get our first? I think the temptation for humanity is still ever so real to have the heart of Cain, that I will give to God out of my surplus in my comfort zone. And see, that's why God always is checking our heart. And then the reason I talk about giving our best is there's honestly a freedom that's found with that. There's a true freedom. I don't know if you've just given, it's called like the old college try. You know, you just get, I'm just going to give my best at something. How'd you feel afterwards? Hopefully you walked away feeling, I'm proud of that. Whether you won, lost, gained, anything, you said, I gave it my best. There's a peace that comes with that because, you know, there was nothing else to do. There's nothing else to do. There's almost a peace at whatever happens after that because I gave my best. I think that's what happens when we live our life in faith and give our best and first to God. There becomes a peace that can exist because we go, I've gone to the edge of everything I can do, and now I just trust God with the rest. I've given my best. There's a peace that can exist, but there's a lack of peace that can always exist when it eats at you going, I held some stuff back for myself. I held some stuff back for myself. The heart of Cain will never, ever lead to peace. And we see that. See, I didn't tell you the whole story of what happens between Cain and Abel. See, Cain, after his offering's rejected, sin's crouching at his door. Cain goes out and murders his brother. You go, what? Plot twist. You're telling me, wait, that God accepts Abel's offering. He does what's right. God's supposed to take care of us and we're doing the right things. And you're telling me the dude that did what was right, he gets murdered. Pastor Phil, I don't think you did your studying. That's not an encouraging message. But why is that? Is it again because we view God's faithfulness so much on what happens on this side of eternity? Well, God is so faithful as long as my time is going well, as long as my finances are going well, as long as my talents are exceeding. God's real faithful. But then if we run into difficult things, we go, where is God? He must not still be at work. He must not be doing what he should be doing. And see, that's an interesting thing because I think we should look at Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, we're going New Testament as well today. Keep everybody on their toes. Hebrews 11 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I've talked about it several times in my time here. Hebrews 11, it's nicknamed the Hall of Fame of Faith. It talks about some of the greatest people in our entire faith in the Bible. Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is confidence. Underline or highlight that word, and what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. That's strong language. It said the people in this chapter were commended for what? Faith. I always say faith is the great currency in the kingdom of God. Faith is the great currency in the kingdom of God. Cain had none to spend. Cain didn't really live his life in faith. He said, I'll give to God out of what I have left over, but then sin got in and messed with his heart. But then there's another thing that's so interesting is it says assurance about what we do not see. And can we just have an honest moment? You know, I'm going to put off, you know, the pastor title that I don't even really, you know, like I'm just Philip. I've always just been Philip, a follower of Jesus. Let's put that aside. Let's put our titles aside. Let's just have an honest moment right here. And it says assurance about what we do not see. I wonder if humanity sometimes we get lax with giving God our best because we don't physically see him. Like honestly, I think sometimes we go, how much accountability is there if I don't give God my best? Because I don't see him. I physically see my bank account. I physically see myself getting promoted. I physically see my talents advancing me. I physically see my time, you know, really benefiting me when I spend it my way. Do we get a little bit lax, honestly, as humanity, because we don't see God physically sometimes? And it causes this lack of accountability we feel like. We get just a little bit lax because we've forgotten that there's an assurance about what we do not see. But the ancients, they were commended for faith. And then I want us to circle back to this word confidence because I think that matters so much. Have you ever met somebody that's got confidence but no talent? It's not a pretty thing. I worked in the hiring business for 4 years and I met some people hiring for companies. They had a lot of confidence, but they did not have talent. And it did not work out well. I tried to help my clients not hire people like that. Or do you ever meet somebody, though, that's got confidence and talent and experience? That's a potent combination. Those people can get things done. Or have you ever met somebody that's got talents but no confidence? And it's almost sad to watch because you go, I see it in you. I see what you have, and you don't have the confidence to step in and use it. Or have you met somebody that's got experience but no confidence? It's tough to watch. Confidence matters so much because when it comes together with time and with finances and talents, when you add confidence in of, I'm confident in God, it's going to push us to give him our first, our best. And that becomes a powerful combination in the kingdom of God. I'm confident in who God is, and therefore I'm going to give a certain way. I'm confident in who God is, and therefore I'm going to give him out of my talents. I'm confident in God that if I give him the best of my time, he'll renew my other time. You see, we've got to challenge ourselves. Are we really giving God our best? And see, here's the thing. I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys. We have a generous church. We really do. We have a generous church. not just with finances, but with our time. We have a very we have a church who loves to serve, who gives beyond. We have a church that does look to give out of their talents. I'm not giving this message because I look around in despair at Vertical Church and go, man, none of us are getting this right. I give this message actually because I think a lot of us are trying to give our best, and I'm trying to encourage this, to plant this in our DNA, to say, never stop doing this. Never stop checking ourselves to go, I want to make sure I have the heart of Abel and not Cain. It's so important for the long-term health of our church that we plant this in our DNA to go, we will always seek to have the heart of Abel and not Cain. But see, sin's crouching at our door. If we're not careful, things can change in our heart. Look at verse 4 in Hebrews 11. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous, which just means he has right standing before God, when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he's dead. What Abel did in Genesis 4 is still being talked about thousands of years later in Hebrews 11. See, his faith echoes out beyond his life. You and I will not live forever. I'm not trying to be morbid, but if that's the case, if the Lord does not come back, you and I will all have a moment where what we did on this side of eternity will either echo out or not. Abel, thousands of years later, his legacy of faith still echoes today. Because he looked around and said, I will give God my best, my first. Here's an interesting question. If somebody walked up to Abel, before he's going up, he's kind of heading up, he's got his offering before that he's going to take up to God, and someone said, hey, if you go give your best to God today, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. I would hold back. I wouldn't do that. And Abel's like, I can't do what you're asking. I'm decided I'm going to give God my best, my first. And the person said, I thought you may say that, Abel. It will cost you your life. If you go give God your best, you will be killed for it. Do you think Abel would have changed his mind? As I read through Genesis 4 and Hebrews 11, I pondered that question. If Abel knew what was going to happen to him, do you think he would have backed down and not given God his best? I don't think he would have. I think it would have made him more resilient even. I think he would have said, I understand what you're saying, but my confidence is in God. My faith is in God. If you're telling me this is the last offering I get, then you better believe I'm going to make it right. When we give the Lord an opportunity to check our heart, that's what's at stake, is a confidence in God. To say, I want you to check my heart because I would never want to have the heart of Cain over the heart of Abel before you, Lord. I want to have confidence in you to do what's right, to give you my best and my first. I think the temptation for humanity many times can be our standard of giving goes up to the edge of comfort. But God's standard of giving tends to be in the uncomfortable range. I think God's standard of giving tends to lend us to live in the faith-needed arena. And so we look at our life. When's the last time you genuinely felt you had to have faith? When's the last time you felt like, man, God, if you don't show up, I don't know how this is going to shake down? Maybe it was literally today. Or maybe you start going, I don't really know. I think my talents and skills and finances and time, I've actually been pretty self-proficient. Then I would say, make sure, though, that you've asked, God, don't let me have the heart of Cain. I want to have the heart of Abel. I want to give you my best and my first. I want us to read Hebrews 11:6. It'll be the last verse we look at. and says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You know what I think earnestly seeking looks like today? I think earnestly seeking God in faith says, I will give you my best, God. I will give you my first. If we want to say, God, I want to earnestly seek you, do we give him our best? If we do you think it could have been said of Cain that he earnestly sought the Lord? No. But do you think it could have been said of Abel that Abel earnestly sought the Lord? Yes. So as we search our hearts today, do we earnestly seek God? Do we genuinely give God our best and our first? Because if we want to win the day, that's what God says in Genesis 4. That's what God says in Hebrews 11. He says, if you want to win the day, bring forth your best. Give me your first and trust me with the rest. I wonder if some of us are living a life that lacks peace because we're trying to live it with the heart of Cain, that maybe if I just rely on my talents or my finances or my time enough, I think I can just move it myself. But see, I think when we give God our best and trust him with the rest, we can live with peace. There was nothing else to do. We gave God our best and we trusted him with the rest. And so as we close out today, I want us to genuinely say, God, am I earnestly seeking you? Am I truly earnestly seeking you? Am I giving you my best or my first? Or does something need to change today? Am I living my life a little bit for myself and rather than you, Lord? And that can change today. I want to encourage you with something the Bible tells us about the Lord, that he is slow to anger. The Bible tells us he wants to forgive. So then, unfortunately, though, for us, do we want to have the heart of Cain or Abel? And so, Lord, we give you this time. I pray right now that none of us have become comfortable with having the heart of Cain in any area of life. Holy Spirit, won't you ignite inside of us the desire to earnestly seek you, to give you our best, our first in faith, and trust you with the rest. God, I thank you that you forgive us when we make mistakes. I thank you that your love is greater. I pray that you will encourage each and every heart that you want us to do what's right in your eyes. And so, Lord, speak today. Speak today. If there's any of us that even have an inkling of the heart of Cain in our soul, let it change. Let us go. If we don't have the heart of Abel, it's not good enough before the Lord. Let us have the faith to trust you, the love for you, to give you our best and our first. Because that was the example you set for us, Jesus. You gave us your best and your first. And we thank you. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.